offended. I don't want to be offended. I don't want to be offended when it's all coming down. I don't want to be offended. I don't want to be offended. I don't want to be offended when it's all coming Jesus. to Jesus. I pledge my allegiance to the Lamb.
Do it again.
I pledge my allegiance to Jesus. To Jesus. I pledge my allegiance to the Lamb. To Jesus, I pledge my allegiance to the Lamb. Baptize my heart with your fire, desire. Baptize my heart with your desire. Come and baptize my heart with your fire. Desire. Come and baptize my heart with your fire. Desire.
Footsteps coming, I can feel the heaven shaking. I can feel that something greater is about to break, it's about to shake. I can hear the footsteps coming, I can feel the heaven shaking. I can feel that something greater is about to break, it's about to shake. Hear the footsteps of my glory, I descend upon the room. Hear the footsteps of my glory, as I descend upon the room. Hear the footsteps of my glory, as I descend upon the room. Hear the footsteps of my glory, as I descend upon the room. There's a cry stirring deep on the inside, a cry of desperation, a cry of the bride. There's a cry stirring deep on the inside, a cry of desperation, a cry of the bride. For you cannot help but respond, for you cannot help but respond when we cry. For you cannot help but respond, for you cannot help but respond when we cry. For you cannot help but respond, for you cannot help but
like him in the quiet. Will you seek him when you're alone? Will you search him out? Will you search him out? Will you search him out? All the choice is yours
you. I wanna be with you where you a song, it's more than a song.
Deep on the inside, crying desperation, a cry of the bride.
said it's more than a song, it's more than a song. It's a prayer of the bride. It's a prayer of the bride. Oh, it's more than a song. Oh, it's a prayer of the bride. Ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. What the Spirit is saying. Oh, oh, he says, prepare, prepare. Oh, he says, prepare, prepare for me. Be the five wise virgins, be the five wise. Virgins, he says, prepare for me. Oh, trim your wicks, oh, by the oil, he says, yes. Trim your wicks, says the Lord, by the oil, he says. By the oil. We don't want to be offended when it's all coming down. We don't want to be offended. We don't want to be offended when it's all coming down. Coming down. Gotta prepare. So what does preparation look like? Preparation looks like humility. Preparation looks like preferring your brother above yourself. Preparation looks like fasting. He wants us to be prepared. He's wanting us to get prepared. And I feel like he's been saying this for so long. Preparation, 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 preparation. You've been given revelation, revelation. You've been given revelation after revelation. Now it's time to prepare. Now it's time to prepare. Now it's time to prepare. It's time to humble yourself. Oh, it's time to prepare. He says it's time to prepare. It's time for humility. It's time for loving kindness. It's time for self-control. It's time for self-control. It's time for self-control. God, I just ask, Lord, that the fruit of the Spirit would be seen in our character, oh God, that we would have your character, oh Lord. Oh God, that we would have your character, your love. Because it's more than a song, oh God. It's so much more than a song. Baptize my heart. It's so much more than a song. We need to be baptized by the fire of your love, Lord. God, teach us how to love. We don't know how to love, Lord. Teach us how to love like you love, oh God. Break down strongholds, oh God. Father, I just ask that you would break down strongholds in our minds, O Lord. Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, O Lord, that you would bring that thing down, Father. Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, that you would bring it down, O Lord. Break the strongholds in the mind of your bride, O Lord. Oh God, that you would lift the veil. There's like a veil. I see like a veil over our eyes, and we are not seeing clearly what the Spirit of God is saying. Oh Lord, that we would see clearly, oh God. Just as I was praying a minute ago, let our eyes be flooded with the light of the Holy Spirit. That the eyes of of your heart may be enlightened, flooded with the light of the Holy Spirit, so that you will know and cherish the hope, the divine guarantee, the confident expectation to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, so that you will begin to know what the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness. Oh God, that we would know the immeasurable, the unlimited, the surpassing greatness of your love, Lord, of your power, oh God, of your power in us who believe, that we would know the immeasurable and the unlimited and the surpassing greatness of your power in us who believe, oh Lord.
Baptize my heart with your fire, desire. 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 It's the cry of the bride, the cry of the bride, the cry of the bride, the cry of the bride.
Come on, just for a couple minutes, just begin to pray in the Spirit. Come on, piano only. Piano only here just for a few minutes.
The cry of the bride. The cry.
Come on, begin to sing your song. Begin to sing. Begin to release your prayer language. Come on, let that arise. Come on, the sound of heaven, let it come forth. Come on, that's it, let it arise. Something's happening right now in lives. Come on, miracles are in this atmosphere. Sing to Him. Miracles, miracles.
Oh,
wind. Right now, Lord, you're causing the chemistry in bodies to come in line. You're causing chemicals in the brain to function as they should right now, God. Even online right now, Lord, we thank you that depression has to leave. Generational depression has to go.
Washing it away, you're washing it away, you're washing it away. All the iniquity, iniquity being washed away, being washed away. All the iniquity.
Patterns, Lord, you're causing iniquitous patterns to be broken in this room. Iniquitous patterns being broken right now. Generational depression.
By the blood of Jesus Christ. By the blood of Jesus Christ.
Suicide in generations. Suicidal thoughts and tendencies.
Jesus Christ. By the blood.
I pray for every person in this room that someone in their family has committed suicide. I break the right of the Spirit to transfer to thee.
All the iniquity washing away, washing away. By the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb.
Seems like a very generic thing in the atmosphere of the Lord. But does anybody in the room have any kind of back issue? Back issue. Raise your hand. Anybody in the room got back issues? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Lord, we thank you right now for healing being released in this room. You said it, Lord. Come into agreement with your word right now. I say, Lord, right where they are. Fusion. Right now, Lord. Fusion. Fusion. Sombra chiabro. Fusion. Right now. Happening. Heat and fire right now being released. Your presence being released. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Come on, just begin to thank Him for your healing. Don't ask Him for it. Thank Him for it. Come on, I want you to just begin to thank Him for your healing. Listen, I don't want to hold Jeremiah up. I need to take up an offering. But I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do it at the end. So if you leave and you want to sow, please, there'll be buckets on the way out the door as you go. You can make out a check to Father's House. But I just don't want to take the time to do that. I want to release Jeremiah to teach you and equip you.
We will do it afterwards. But again, if you want to sow and you haven't had the opportunity, do it on the way out the door. I want to welcome Jeremiah Johnson this evening. He's much more than a minister. He's much more than a prophet. He's my friend. You know that? And not only is he my friend, but he's the one who watches over my daughter. Even in the midst of a hurricane, he watches over my daughter. In the midst of the hurricane, my daughter is asleep in his house and she doesn't even move while the wind is blowing by. So I thank God for Jeremiah. I want to ask you to do something too. I want you to commit Jeremiah to your prayer every day. I want you to call the name of Jeremiah Johnson every day in your prayers. Because when you release a word that he is releasing concerning reformation and also concerning some of the mess that's in the prophetic movement, you take attack. So I want you to honor him as he comes, but I want you to honor him every day with your prayers. And as I said before, he's not only a man of God, he's one of my best friends on the planet. I love him and I honor him. Please join in welcoming Jeremiah as he comes.
Good evening, West Virginia. Is anybody here not from West Virginia? Like, you don't live here now? Virginia. Kentucky. Virginia. Anybody else? Kentucky, Virginia, West Virginia. Welcome. Been looking forward to this weekend with great expectancy when Doyle had called and invited me to come. He had asked me to do some prophetic training and equipping this weekend. So I hope that you've come to learn. I'm praying for a spirit of wisdom and revelation upon each and every one of us. We want to welcome those who are with us online right now. I'm believing God to just release significant impartation and activation this weekend. We truly are living in a generation who is bored with watching ministers do the stuff. There's a massive transition taking place where saints are getting equipped, they're getting trained to carry the voice of God in their various sphere of influence. So we brought notes with us. This is going to be session one of three. So tonight we're going to do part one. Tomorrow morning we're going to do part two. Tomorrow night we're going to do part three. And then on Sunday morning I'm going to bring a word for the community. So wave at me if you have your notes with you. You pretty much just need a pen and a spirit of revelation. We do have some products on the back table if you're interested in more. Invite to talk about the prophetic. I can talk about it 52 Sundays out of 52 Sundays, so we can't get to everything, but we're going to do our best. One of the recent teachings that I just did, it's a new series. It's called Working Through Your Prophetic Words. And I believe we need to see more prophetic fulfillment in the body of Christ. So to put it to you simply, just because you get a prophetic word doesn't mean it's going to come to pass. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people have not been taught that. And so in this series, I walk people through what it looks like to actually partner with the prophetic word that you receive. So many of you might get prophesied over this weekend, but I want to encourage you, it doesn't stop there. You have a role to play in prophetic fulfillment in your life. Amen. So who can I bless this with? It's, here you go. Hopefully I don't hit anybody. All right. Raising prophetic children. You know, raising prophetic children is, it's no small task. Prophetic kids are weird. I was one. I'm going to share a little bit about my journey in the Lord. But there's a way that parents can greatly assist their children in raising them in an environment that will foster the gifts that God has given them. So who can I bless this with? Here you go. All right, don't hit anybody. Awesome. Awesome. Wrote a book called I See a New Prophetic Generation. Who's read this? I know several of you guys have. This is a book dedicated to releasing what I believe God is saying to this generation about what He's doing in the prophetic and what's coming. It's jam-packed. It's encouraging, I believe. One of my friends, Dr. Michael Brown, he said, if this book offends you, it's the very book you need. And so, who can I bless this with? All right, I saw your hand first. Come on up, sir. Welcome. I've got a word for you. I've got a word for you, too. The Lord would say to you that He has called you as a teacher of His people. And God, I'm asking right now in your name that from the top of this man's head to the bottom of his feet, that there would be a heavenly download of accurate and thorough the knowledge of God teaching of your word. Father, I thank you that you've marked this man for discipleship. You've marked him for glory. And I ask that all the seeds that have been sown in him over the years would flourish in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 More than a book. Praise the Lord. This one here is called The Pitfalls of the Prophetic. Just recently did a prophetic school in Raleigh, North Carolina, and this is a brand new teaching that I did there about all the traps and pitfalls of prophetic ministry and why there are so few pure prophets in the earth. Who can I bless this with? Let me ask it this way. Who believes they have a prophetic call on their life? Who's scared? Here you go. And then finally, this is called The Trumpet of Holiness. And this is out of a recent encounter with the Lord. And it's interesting, a lot of people are hearing trumpets right now. I've actually talked to many prophets that are hearing trumpets in the spirit realm. The Feast of Trumpets, those things. And this message is about a trumpet of holiness that God is blowing in the earth. How many of you know, without holiness, the church has nothing to say to the world? Without holiness, the church has nothing to say to the world. The Lord is pulling down the realities of heaven right now. I don't want to get into this too much, but I'm like on a scale of 1 to 10. I'm about 20 in intensity. Who wants this? There you go. Don't drive with that. Okay. All right. I'm excited. I love to help train and equip people in prophetic ministry. Part of the new covenant is that we would all know the Lord, for the least from the greatest. And again, as I stated earlier, we're moving out of an era in the church where people would show up and watch one guy do the stuff. Moving out of an era where we're just coming to watch a guy prophesy. We're shifting into a new dimension of the Spirit where the sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Amen. And so I hope that this teaching helps you. I hope that you can lock in and stay with us throughout the weekend. Each of the teachings, I believe, are going to be very helpful for each of us. So let's pray. Is that good? So, Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your voice. Let your voice be honored. Let it be treasured in our midst like never before. Your word says in Psalm 29 that the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The voice of the Lord spits out flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord strips the forest bare. And in your temple, everybody cries glory. Lord, we're asking, let your voice be magnified in Bluefield, West Virginia. Let your voice be magnified in the United States of America. Lord, we're asking that you would raise up a company of people that know your voice and are unashamed to make it known in the earth. Lord, I pray that you would open up eyes, that you would open up ears to what the Spirit is saying in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, if you'll look on your sheet there, this is Walking in the Prophetic Anointing, part one. We're going to start out in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, but I always like to just briefly mention in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I have a passion for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. As I travel around the nation, I recognize that many believers, one, do not know the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has given them, and then two, they're not operating in them. And Paul is very clear in the Word of God how he feels about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk about the gift of prophecy, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about words of knowledge and wisdom and discernment of spirits. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul writes and he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." So Paul's passion behind the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which again, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, how many of us are believers in Jesus Christ? Okay, so by the power of the Holy Spirit, he has put gifts in you. Whether you know them or not, there are gifts of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and Paul does not want you to be ignorant concerning them. Now, if you break this down in the Greek, this word ignorance, it means two things. Ignorance can mean I'm ignorant because I have no knowledge of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you're ignorant. You haven't been taught about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So Paul says, I don't want you to fall into that category. Now, the second category for ignorance, it means I don't want you to operate in them in an inappropriate or an abusive manner. There are many places that have shut down the gifts of the Holy Spirit because they have been used to glorify man. They have been used to hurt human beings. So many people fall into those two categories. They're ignorant of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or they are using them in inappropriate ways. And so Paul doesn't want us to do either one of those. What Paul is after is activating, and I'm going to pray for that tonight, that God would activate the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he's given us, that they would become fully alive. And specifically this weekend, what I'm believing is for an activation of the prophetic gifts in our life, that he would awaken our ears and our eyes to what the Spirit is saying. Amen. So there's something powerful locked up on the inside of us. So let's begin reading Roman numeral 1, the importance of prophecy. In 1 Corinthians 14, 1, so we read 1 Corinthians 12. You can shift over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So your first fill in the blank there, it's pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you might prophesy. So Paul here, people ask me, where does prophecy begin? Where do I start walking in prophetic ministry? And right here in 1 Corinthians 14, it's very simple. Pursue love. Pursue love. Where do I get started? Here it is very simply. Prophecy begins with loving the people around you enough to ask God questions about them. Prophecy begins with loving the people around us enough to ask God questions about them. So that means for me, I can't sit in a restaurant and be greeted by a waiter and not ask God questions about that person. Why? Because as a prophetic person, I'm constantly asking God to fill my heart with love for the people around me. In fact, if your heart is not full of love, you're disqualified from prophetic ministry. Even if it's a hard word, even if it's a word that stings or cuts, if we're not pursuing love, If we're not pursuing the love of God, if we're not pursuing His love for other people, we're disqualified. So this is where we begin. We pursue love. And then it's interesting here. It says, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. The Greek says this, pursue love and zealously lust after spiritual gifts. Of all the lusting that this generation is doing, where are people that are actually going to lust after the gifts of the Holy Spirit? I mean, when's that last time you had that craving and that itch and the, I gotta have it, about the gifts of the Holy Spirit? See, where we're going tonight is how important are they to you? Because many of us choose to operate without them every day. Don't think twice about it. Churches, people, movements, no gifts of the Holy Spirit. When Paul not only does not want us to be ignorant about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but he also is giving us permission. I want you to zealously lust after spiritual gifts. I want you to get in the place of prayer, and I want you to lay out the gifts of the Holy Spirit before me, and I want you to cry out and say, Lord, I've got to have these in my life. What if we pursued them like the air in this room? All right, you feeling the weight of this? So the fact that you're here this weekend, you can't cry ignorance anymore. So I got you. You're stuck. You can't say, well, I didn't know about those gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now there's a weight of responsibility on each and every one of us concerning the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because we're not ignorant anymore, and we have clear biblical precedence to zealously lust after spiritual gifts. And again, it's all as the Holy Spirit leads and He yields. So as long as we're yielding to Him, I believe that we're capable of operating in any and all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because it's as He wills, not as we will. How we doing? All right. So spiritual gifts. Go after them, green light, run the red light. I mean, I want to see us as a generation passionately pursuing. I say it's like having a gun with no ammo. You got to get ammo to fire that gun, right? We've got to get activated in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But then he throws this out there, but especially that you may prophesy. So all of a sudden, Paul is saying, I want you to go for all the gifts, but the one gift that I want you to specifically lust after is the gift of prophecy. Why is Paul specifically instructing the Corinthians to lust after the gift of prophecy? Well, let's look at it in letter A, divine revelation. The reason why Paul valued prophecy above any other spiritual gift is because of the divine revelation it carries. Because of this revelation, one who prophesied would be able to speak to the specific needs of the moment when the congregation assembled. Whereas the teacher or preacher might only be able to obtain information about the specific spiritual concerns of the people from observation or conversation, the prophetic person would have, in addition, the ability to know about specific needs through revelation. In many cases, the things revealed might include the secrets of people's hearts, their worries or fear, or their refusal or hesitancy to do God's will. Prophecy then is superior to other spiritual gifts because the revelation on which it depends allows it to be suited to the specific needs of the moment, needs that may be known only to God. In this way, prophecy is supremely qualified to be speech that edifies, speech that fits the occasion, that it may impart grace to those who hear. So in essence, the reason why Paul is saying that he values prophecy above any other gift of the Holy Spirit is that prophecy has the ability to speak to the exact need, the exact occasion in the now. This is a struggle that I've had my entire life, especially these last 10 years when God has called me to preach on a full-time basis. Because for me as a prophetic person, I just can't read commentaries and just fire off something that feels old to me. I can't pull sermon notes from a file 10 years ago. I've got to have a fresh word from the Lord. I've got to have something that's hot out of the oven. I don't know if you've ever ministered to people. I tell people, I don't give out croutons. No croutons on a salad. I want a steak. I want something that fits to the moment. It's a right on, right now word. And so this is why Paul's encouraging them. The power of prophecy, when it's operating in our individual lives and when it's operating corporately, people are going to be able to come into contact with us. They're going to be able to walk into the back of a service, and Doyle is literally praying something that they're going through right now. Our worship team begins to get full of the spirit of prophecy, and they're literally prophesying what a homeless guy is going through that walks in. His heart is laid bare before him, and he just gets saved, and no one led him in a sinner's prayer. You're just at your place of work saying, Lord, I want the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You said to pursue prophecy over any other gift. Lord, I'm asking for something in the moment, something that's full of revelation. And bam, you turn to your coworker and something comes out of you. It's God. And their jaws dropped and they're like, how did you know that? Now, I always like to point out to people, and again, I believe Paul was a prophecy fan. I mean, he was in the prophetic corner saying, yeah, I love prophecy. Here's the thing, though. Paul didn't fully embrace and encourage the body to operate in prophecy because he knew how destructive it would be. You just have to take it from a guy like me who travels and speaks in about 30 to 45 churches every year, okay? I'm in churches of 10,000. I'm in small churches. Probably, and I would say primarily, the main churches that I go to that do not allow prophecy, they do not allow the gifts of the Holy Spirit to flow, is because someone was operating in a prophetic spirit that came and blew up the church. It was critical. It was judgmental. It didn't have the touch or the kiss of heaven on it. And so I want to encourage you, Paul's mindset in encouraging the gift of prophecy amongst believers, and we're going to read later, is because he knew how powerful encouragement is. He knew what a blessing it would be if people would learn how to prophetically comfort one another, how to bring strength to the body. So when we say gift of prophecy, when we say a prophetic community, I want you to have in your mind, this is a group of people, or this is a person who carries the word and the heart, the mind of God with them, and they hit the bullseye. Good? All right, let's turn the page. Roman numeral 2, the spirit behind prophecy. The power and significance of the gift of prophecy is just not found in the content, but in the delivery of it. In terms of fulfillment, we must see how we deliver prophecy just as important as what we prophesy. Now, for me personally, how many of you have ever prophesied? How many of you would like to prophesy? Okay, come on. You're at like a prophetic weekend. We got to have full participation. You're either prophesying or you're believing to prophesy. There comes a point in the prophetic movement or as prophetic people where we have to learn how to grow in maturity. A lot of people get excited that they can hear the voice of God and they make it known. But we fail what I just said, what we just said. So the power and significance of prophecy is just not found in the content, but in how we deliver it. So two examples that I have here. If God desires to communicate himself to his people as the Lion of Judah, it would not be edifying or helpful to whisper or speak in a sheepish tone. In the same like manner, if God desires to communicate himself as a tender and kind father, it is not beneficial to yell and scream. Here's the key line. Delivery must match content. I have seen well-intending prophetic people and prophets blow it on this portion of growing in their prophetic development. I have seen people scream and yell, talking about how much God loves his people and how patient he was. Okay, so they're screaming and yelling about God Almighty being the most loving, the most patient, the most tender. And people are like, and they come to the side and say, those people, they didn't receive the word of the Lord. And I said, no, brother, it's not that they didn't receive the word of the Lord. They didn't receive the way you gave the word of the Lord. This is really hard for a lot of prophetic people to swallow. A lot of the prophetic people that I've dealt with, the issue is not the people. The issue is with their delivery of the word. So as prophetic people, we have to understand it's just not what we say, but it's how we say it. Because as prophetic people, truly mature prophetic people, our concern is with prophetic fulfillment. We're interested in the word of the Lord coming to pass, not just the word of the Lord being given. There was a period of years where I would take out prophetic teams to do evangelism and at Walmart and all this stuff. And I began to run into these people that had all these sorts of ideas about what it meant to be a prophet or a prophetic person. And at one time I worked with this guy, like I'll just say he had like the John the Baptist syndrome. So we would be walking in these malls, and for whatever reason, this guy, he just loved to jump out in front of people. You know, that was just his thing. You know, he would, and just go into this, repent and, whatever. You know, and we would go out for months, and I'm telling you, like, this guy got, like, 2 seconds of people's time for, 4 months. And, we were in a prayer meeting one time, and he was, Lord, send your fire on these stubborn, on these rebellious people. I mean, he's just bashing people. And so I just felt an unction from the Holy Spirit. Hey, let's have a time together. So I took this guy to the side, and I said, listen, man, I've listened to what you're saying. I mean, I think it's pretty good content. But have you ever considered that the way in which you're jumping out in front of people, scaring them, honestly, being a weirdo, have you ever thought that that's the reason why people are not receiving the? And he said, I never thought about that. So let me make a suggestion. So this young man, humble enough to learn and grow, and again, I convinced him, listen, as mature prophetic people, we want to see prophecy come to pass. It's just not about jumping out and thus saith the Lord. We want to see it fulfilled. So I literally walked this guy and taught him on how to approach people. Hey, if you're a male, don't hunt down women in a parking lot, okay? They're going to think you're robbing them, not giving them a prophetic word from the Lord. I remember going to Walmart with this guy, and there was two women that were buying CDs in the CD section of Walmart. And he just wanted to run up to them and start releasing. And I said, no. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go in the CD section and stand next to them and act like we're interested in CDs, okay? So we're going to flip through, and then we're going to look and wait till we get eye contact, okay? And then we're going to say, hey, how you doing? So we're just going to develop a just a conversation with them. Don't be weird. Just have a conversation. I want to encourage you, you don't have to be weird and be prophetic. That's why a lot of people don't receive prophetic ministry, because again, in our mindsets, it's all about releasing the word of the Lord, and we don't ever think through this stuff. And God is in the details, okay? So we just start flipping, we start picking up a conversation, and then all of a sudden, words of knowledge start flowing. We start ministering to these two women. Before you know it, they're literally bawling their eyes out. They give their life to Jesus Christ and come to the church and get discipled. But that was like a turning point for this young man, because he finally saw the error in his ways. Now, yes, are some people going to reject the word of the Lord regardless of how you say it? And yeah, absolutely. But I believe as prophetic people desiring to grow in maturity, we should spend a lot more time asking God for his heart, not just his words. Because I want to give you a key to prophetic ministry. If you're taking notes, just write this down. If we have his heart, we will have his words. If we have God's heart, we will have his words. So here is like my sermon prep routine, or when the word of the Lord comes to me, I don't focus on releasing the word of the Lord. I ask the Lord, in what spirit or in what heart do you want me to share the word of the Lord? The Lord he spanked me good on this. I can say this from experience. It's a terrible feeling to know that you gave a group of people the word of the Lord without the heart of the Lord, and that's why they didn't receive it. It's difficult to be in the back room after you've preached your guts out, and the Lord says to you, yeah, the reason why there wasn't a response like you had hoped is because you gave them my word and never asked me for my heart. And again, this is an area of prophetic development. I've trained and equipped many, many prophets and prophetic people. In my own personal experience, many have never even considered this. They've never even considered how they're going to deliver the word of the Lord. So I want to encourage us on this. Another thing I just want to mention, trying to encourage people, you don't have to prophesy in King James. Now, I've worked with a lot of older prophets who they get into this King James lingo. And again, I like to say, I guess it's okay, but my heart is you're losing everyone in the room. No one knows what you're talking about. So as we're trying to reach this next generation with the word of the Lord, I honestly want to encourage us to try to partner with the Lord. Even sometimes when you're out doing prophetic evangelism, just realize not everybody has heard of Samson and Delilah. Not everyone has heard of David. And sometimes we go up to people and we start throwing out Bible lingo and they're like, They don't know. So again, ask the Lord, how do I communicate what I believe you're saying in a way that this person can understand? And again, I know that struggle of, well, I'm going to twist his word or change his word, or, you know, I work with people, I'm just going to say it like he gave it to me and forget you. You're watering down the word of the Lord. And I'm like, okay, go ahead. And they give it and, you know, they're the most discouraged, frustrated prophetic people that I know. So I hope that helps. So the spirit behind prophecy is important. Something else I'd like to mention that's not on your sheet. We don't always need to do with prophecy what we can do with discipleship. We don't always need to do with prophecy what we can do with discipleship. So let's say that someone in this congregation is sleeping around in sexual sin. You don't have to either stand up in a service or walk up to them and say, thus saith the Lord, you adulteress, you Jezebel, if you don't repent of your sins, the Lord's gonna... Listen, they don't need a prophetic word. Why? The scripture already says that's sin. So my suggestion would be, you don't need a prophetic word for that. Just give them the word of God. And in some cultures, we're overdoing it with prophecy, what really can just be done with discipleship. So I just thought I might throw that out there, maybe help somebody. So it says, by listing three specific objectives of the gift of prophecy, when the saints gather, Paul is clearly placing restriction on corporate prophecy. So if you have in your Bible, read this with me, 1 Corinthians 14. It says, pursue love, yet desire spiritual gifts, especially that you should prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. Verse 3. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation. Verse 3 is really important. Here it is. By listing three specific objectives of the gift of prophecy, when the saints gather, Paul is clearly placing restriction on corporate prophecy. So in 1 Corinthians 14:3 it says, but one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation. So these are restrictions. These are limitations that Paul is placing on believers. He's saying, this is, you need to stay in these boundaries. You need to keep your prophetic words to edification, exhortation, and consolation. So let's break it down here this weekend. A, edification. The Greek word for edification is oikodome, which in essence is the act of building up. The act of building up. As we pursue love and eagerly desire to prophesy, we are to seek God for words of edification for our brothers and sisters in Christ. God is seeking to build up that which has been torn down and to speak life into that which is dead and dry. So again, one more time, pursue love, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. What is the gift of prophecy for? Number one, it's for edification. So when we're pursuing the gifts of the Holy Spirit and we're asking God for the gift of prophecy and to be used in prophecy, what is it? It's sharing God's heart and his mind, his will with people. It's making the voice of God known. But how does that work? What does it look like? We say, Lord, give me words. Give me your heart. Give me things that would build people up. I don't care how spiritual they are. I don't care what kind of man or woman of God that they are. Everyone needs edification. Everyone needs to be built up. So what would happen if we got off work on Friday, we came to the gathering tonight, and we got into the place of prayer, and we said, Lord, give me words of edification for my brothers and sisters. Fill my heart with words that would build somebody up rather than tear them down. You know, a lot of marriages would be saved. B, exhortation. The Greek word for exhortation is paraklesis, which means a calling near, a summoning, S-U-M-M-O-N-I-N-G. A persuasive discourse, a stirring address, a calling near, a summoning, a persuasive discourse, a stirring address. Words of exhortation have the ability to shift and bring saints into alignment with the will of God very quickly. They can also encourage those who are downcast and move those who are stagnant in their walk with Christ. When I think about the gift of exhortation, I think about a football coach. I think about a ball team at halftime being down 40-0. They're getting the beat down of a lifetime. And coach is going to get up there and say, we can do it. We're going to go out there the second half and we're going to whoop them. We're going to win the game 80-40. I mean, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon saints and the gift of exhortation, when there's a summoning, when there's a stirring, when they rise to the occasion, Doyle Bradford has this gift. I mean, you feel like, get ready, the troops are like, let's go. These are that gift of exhortation. Everybody's lazy. They're tired. They don't want to come. When that exhortation comes upon people, it's powerful. When moms and dads operate in exhortation, their children are blessed. And again, Paul went after this. He gave the green light. He said, go for it. Not because he knew how destructive this stuff was, but he knew how powerful edification was and encouragement. He knew how powerful exhortation is. All right, and then C, consolation. The Greek word for consolation is paramuthis, which means a calming and a comforting. Prophetic words of consolation bring healing, understanding, deliverance, and oftentimes hope in the midst of turmoil. When the prophetic spirit of consolation, strength is moving amongst the people, those that are depressed, those that are down, those that are struggling, those that are hurting, those that are broken, the voice of the Lord begins to cry out and speak His tender mercies over them. His kindness, His compassion, He speaks to their weakness and He holds them up. Again, I don't care how spiritual you are, how great a man or woman of God, we could all use more comfort. Now that's the place that the church must become. I mean, I think of a dying and a lost world out there with no hope. Walking into a community of believers where the gift of prophecy is alive. And again, I want to encourage you, especially in this house. I know that Doyle is a prophetic voice. The voice of the Lord flows through him. Can I encourage you and maybe chastise you a little bit? Don't live through his voice. You've got to find your own. Don't make him Moses. Moses, you go to the mountain and tell us what God is saying. That's old covenant. It's a lot of what's happening in the church. People, that's like why they think they pay their tithe. I'm paying you to have a devotional this week. Pastor, hopefully you have quiet. Here's my money. You go to the mountain. And I'll come back next Sunday and you tell me what God is saying. That's old covenant. The new covenant, again, I want to encourage you, in Jeremiah chapter 31, in the book of Hebrews, they will all know me from the least to the greatest. The new covenant is that we have all been given equal access to the Father by the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. I don't have some special aura that I leave here and get in the secret place and hear from the Lord. You have the same access to God the Father that I do. Not because I had a good day and you had a good day, but because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, He has made a way for all of us to know the Lord. And so the Lord is raising up a mature company of believers in the earth that are tired of being pew sitters. We're not going to have a third great awakening in America because the preachers get more anointed. We're going to have a third great awakening in America because everyone is going to wake up and begin to hear the voice of the Lord for their sphere of influence. Right? We need the voice of the Lord to run swiftly in our schools. Lord, raise up educators, prophetic educators. Lord, raise up prophetic congressmen and women. Lord, raise up prophets in the government, in the political realm. Lord, raise up prophets. I mean, all the different spheres of influence, Lord, raise them up. Raise up prophetic people. So I want to encourage you, this is the hour to find your voice. This is the hour to discover the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has given you, but especially prophecy, that we might exhort, that we might edify, that we might bring comfort to a lost and dying world. Amen? So Lord, do it in Jesus' name. Roman numeral 3, the prophetic components. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you don't know, these are where the gifts of the Holy Spirit are. And if you want more on this subject, I actually have a school of the Holy Spirit back on the table, either in workbook or audio form, to help you discover the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life and how to walk in them. But if you don't know, in 1 Corinthians 12, there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit that are mentioned, okay? So I'm gonna read them. Verse 6, and there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in persons. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, notice that's plural, by one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing of spirits, to another variety of kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. So there are gifts of the Holy Spirit there. Now, I believe if you look in Roman numeral 3, I believe that 4 specific gifts, are you tracking with me? The gift of wisdom, number 1. The gift of knowledge, number 2. The gift of distinguishing of spirits, number 3. And the gift of prophecy that are found in 1 Corinthians 12 comprise the DNA of the prophetic ministry. They can be ministered together or singularly depending on what the Spirit of God is revealing. Now, I know from experience that when you say prophecy or you say prophetic ministry, a lot of people just think, well, it's prophecy. And I want to tell you, prophetic ministry is made up of these 4 gifts: the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of discerning of spirits, and the actual gift of prophecy. So as we're leaning into God's heart for words of edification, words of comfort, words of exhortation, He's going to give us words of wisdom. He's going to give us words of knowledge. He's going to give us a distinguishing of spirits. And then there's the actual gift of prophecy. How many people never knew that? A lot of people have never heard that before. So there are 4 gifts of the Holy Spirit that make up the prophetic ministry. So let's break them down. A, words of wisdom. I'm a Bible guy. Hope you are too. Prophetic people are disciples of Jesus Christ. One of the problems in the prophetic movement is no one reads their Bible. We all want a word from God, and people don't know the word of God. I'm famous in a lot of places in America for lifting up my Bible, pointing to people, and giving them a prophetic word that says, the Lord says, read your Bible. Our lives are not governed by prophetic words. Our lives are governed by the Word of God. It is eternal. It is the rock solid foundation on which we stand. So we need to do a lot better job in the prophetic movement knowing the Word of God. I tell people all the time, I've been in the prophetic movement for a period of years now where sometimes I get tired of it and just want to join a Baptist church. No, and I literally say that sincerely, because at least going to a Baptist church, you know they're going to preach the Word of God. Someone teach me the Word of God. I get tired sometimes of hearing about experiences and people flying around in the air or whatever. I'm like, that's great. I want the Word of God, okay? So here, words of wisdom Where is that found in the scripture? Acts chapter 27. If you're not familiar with it, Paul is going to take a voyage when he's in chains, and he says that he perceives by the Spirit that the voyage is going to end in shipwreck. If you're familiar with that passage of scripture, so here I'm defining words of wisdom as direction, insight, and understanding into situations, circumstances, and events revealed by the Holy Spirit. Again, this is not natural wisdom. This is not someone going, let's say, to someone that's having trouble with their finances, going to a financial coach, and then by just mere logic telling them, well, get rid of that credit card, get rid of that. Okay, that's good. That's natural wisdom, but that's not necessarily wisdom from above. We know that Solomon operated in supernatural wisdom. You remember when they brought the baby to the two women and they said, saw it in half. And the woman's response to Solomon was, we're astounded by the great wisdom from above that you carry. So there is divine wisdom that God gives men and women to help them operate and help them to be a blessing. I remember doing premarital counseling with a couple, and they were asking for direction and wisdom and insight into their future marriage, and the Lord revealed to me that the guy was cheating on her. That was fun. So here they are before me seeking wisdom and direction and understanding, and the Lord says to me, yeah, he's unfaithful. I'm sitting there thinking, wow, so should I say this right now or in private or what should I do? You know, obviously it didn't end well. It was heart-wrenching, but years later that girl said, thank God. Thank God that a word of wisdom came, even though it stung, it hurt. We had to send, you know, the invitations were out. I mean, the whole shebang was about to go down. But years later, she said, thank God that he intervened in a critical, but just a divine time where I was warned. Thank God. So sometimes those words of wisdom that come that bring insight and direction. I remember being on a plane, and, you know, one of my awkward moments is always when people on planes ask me what I do for a living. So I usually try to get out of it by saying I'm a motivational speaker. And so, you know, you can imagine, you know, I fly, you know, 20, 25 states a year doing prophetic schools, prophetic ministry. So then she, you know, the old woman asked me, well, what do you, you know, encourage people about? What do you motivate people about? And I said, well, you know, I motivate them to speak forth the word of God. You know, and, you know, I kind of got the feel she was Baptist, so she was good with that, you know, the word of God. You know, and so she kept pressing further, you know, the word of God. I said, it's just prophecy. She looked at me and said, well, tell me about that. So I explained prophecy to this 86-year-old Baptist woman, and she looks at me and she goes, honey, I've been doing that my whole life. She said, we don't call it prophecy, but I just call that being led of the Spirit. She tells me the story. She said, when I was newly married, I had, you know, all my kids in the back of the car, and I was at a stoplight, and I'm sitting there, and for whatever reason, I heard the voice of the Lord say, when it turns green, don't go. So the light turns green, and a semi runs the red light. If she would have just, boom, just it would have been a collision. But there was a word of wisdom right in that moment, an understanding supernaturally. So I want to encourage you, ask God for wisdom. Come on, some of us, this will save your marriage. Stop duking it out. Stop fighting. Stop. Go to the prayer closet and say, Lord, I need wisdom. I need heavenly wisdom. I'll tell you one last story. When I was in college, I would pass this gas station that I just had a burden for. I don't know how else to tell you. Every day I drove by this gas station, I just couldn't get this burden off of me. So one day I drove into the gas station, I sat down, and I said, Lord, what is it? The Lord said to me, this gas station is going to go out of business, but I want you to walk into the cashier. I want you to talk to the woman. She owns it, and I want you to tell her that this gas station is about to go under, but I'm going to provide another gas station for her. And I thought, praise the Lord. Here's a word of wisdom for somebody in the midst of a crisis. So I go in and tell her the word. She thought I was a quack, okay? Thought I was a kook. But she said to me, how do you know that we're going out of business? I said, the Spirit of the Lord told me, you're going to go out of business. So I walk out. 6 months later, the gas station gets shut down. And I'm like, man. 2 months after that, I'm in Walmart. The woman sees me and goes ghost white. Walks up to me. She said, hey. I said, hey. She said, I remember you. I said, I remember you. She said, about 6 months from the time you came in, we went under. She said, it was the craziest thing. The day that we went under, a man came from another gas station and offered me his gas station. This woman was won over to the Lord simply because a word of wisdom came in a transitional period of time in her life. So I want us to learn and grow in this word of wisdom. Amen. Be words of knowledge. Events, dates, times, details about people's lives that are mysterious. Or secrets unless revealed by the Holy Spirit. So again, I want to throw this out there. This is not someone walking into a meeting with a Walmart uniform on and you saying, the Lord says you work at Walmart. Trust me, I've seen it all. I've seen people try to get clues and, you know, it's like they get invited to a church, so they stalk the church's members before they show up. So they can act like they got a word of knowledge when really they already knew that. Okay, so John chapter 4, where is this in the Bible? Jesus is at the well with the woman. And he says to her, you've had five husbands. What does she say? Sir, I immediately know you're a prophet. So it's amazing this unbeliever, this woman, associates a word of the Lord. And there it is, divine revelation. Bam! You remember when on our first page, the reason why Paul said pursue prophecy over any other gift is that it speaks to the moment. It immediately pierced that woman's heart. She says, you know, well, yeah, and he says, I've seen that you have five. What does she do? She runs back to her town. A lot of people don't even finish the story. She runs back to her town and she says, come and meet a man that told me about my whole life. And guess what? They all got saved. An entire town was converted off of one word of knowledge. When we're walking up to people, when we're ministering at work, when we're in our daily walk, I want us as a prophetic people, I want us as people filled with the Spirit of God to say, Lord, not only give me words of wisdom, give me words of knowledge. Give me details. Give me events. Give me specifics about people's lives that could lead to powerful experiences in God. I'll give you just a couple of them. For me, God primarily uses me in words of knowledge. And what I've noticed over the years is, especially if the person doesn't know the Lord, the words of knowledge are usually much more detailed in nature. We were at a conference earlier this year. A group of us went out to eat afterward. And again, if I get around prophetic people, there's no way we're sitting in that restaurant and are not going to ask God about the waitress. No way. We're not doing it. So we asking the Lord about the waitress. Lord, give us details. Give us events. Awaken her to the love that you have for her. And so between the four of us, we got 10 words of knowledge. So we got her over the table and we said, hey, Jesus loves you. We love you. Don't worry. We're going to tip you well. You know, because the moment waitresses or waiters find out it's church people, they're like, no. Let's turn that table. Okay, let's change that. But we start just going to town on this girl, just telling her about her life, about the destiny, the plans of God. She starts crying. I mean, we literally have like a Holy Ghost hoedown in this steak restaurant. She gives her, I mean, it was the easiest conversion I've ever seen in my life. It was like she was ready to accept Christ and we didn't even do a prayer. Well, it doesn't stop there. She's so excited and so touched by the Lord. She runs in the back and gets all the cooks and gets the owner. She did like a John 4 thing. She runs back there and says, hey, come to this table and they'll tell you about your life. So, I mean, we loved it. I mean, we just jumped right in. And I'm telling you, it was like we went from church and we had church. But again, the Spirit of God is not like a faucet that you turn off and on. The same God that's moving in this room, that's moving through us, is the same God that wants to move through you at your work, at your family reunion. No one is safe from the love of God. I used to tell people, I'm going out to victimize people with the goodness of God. Could we be so bold and dream so much? What would happen if a company of people in Bluefield, West Virginia got so zealous? I don't know where you're from, but got so zealous and so passionate about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, about making the voice of God known, that we literally began to overtake this city. Wherever, whenever, same God yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't care what denomination they're a part of. I'll tell you one more story and we'll move on. Again, I tell the stories to stir your faith. But here's the danger. Do not let the devil whisper in your ear tonight, oh, well, that's him. He's special. No, all the stories that I'm telling you are to encourage you to develop your own stories, your own history in God. Amen? So several months ago, one of our guitar players named Eric, I mean, he just killed it that Sunday. He cut a rug. I was loving his worship to the Lord. I was just blessed. So I texted him after service and said, hey, Eric, let's get lunch this week. I just want to encourage you. And he said, hey, Jeremiah, great to see you today. I'd love to get lunch. So we set up a meeting on Tuesday at a restaurant over in a town nearby the church. And so on Tuesday, I got to the restaurant and I sat in a booth. And I got up my phone and texted Eric and said, hey, Eric, it's Jeremiah. I'm here, you know, section B, you know, row 2. I get an immediate text back that said, hey, Jeremiah, I'm here. I'm in section 4, you know, seat 8. So I look over and it's not him. So I get my phone back and I say, hey, Eric, Jeremiah, section. I get the same text back. So I don't know if you've ever done one of these things where, you know, the bathroom was over here and he was right here. So I kind of did this, you know, just this, you know, just kind of this sneaky, you know, to see if I, you know, it wasn't him. So all of a sudden I'm caught in this pickle like, what? So I start racing in my mind like, what, you know. So the only option I had was to sit down. So I sat down at this table across from Eric, and I said, Eric? And he said, Jeremiah? We just stared at each other for about 15 seconds, trying to figure out how, what, who? And he looks at me and he said, I know you. And I said, go for it. He said, I bought a table off of Craigslist from you 7 years ago. And I'm like, Eric. So I'm like, dude, how? Okay. So I want you to track with me. I had Eric's phone number, obviously, and I thought he was Eric the guitar player. Okay, so that was like my... And I said, what are you doing right now? He said, I pastor a Baptist church in this town. And we had a young man named Jeremiah visit on Sunday. So when you texted me, I thought it was the young man Jeremiah. And when I texted him, you know, I thought it was the guitar player Eric. So immediately I'm sitting there thinking, okay. Personally, I don't believe in coincidences. I immediately got quick in my spirit. I'm like, okay, Lord, why am I here? So I said, man, tell me about what you're doing. So he's telling me about the whole Baptist thing, you know, whatever. And he's just talking, and I literally don't hear anything he's saying because I'm like, Lord, speak to me about this guy. Give me a heart. Give me a word for this guy. The Lord gives me a word of knowledge that his wife is bound in depression, severe migraine headaches. And the Lord says, we're going to baptize him in the Holy Spirit and fire. So I start telling this guy, your wife is bound in depression. She has migraine headaches. He just breaks at the table, starts weeping. I said, man, let's go out in the parking lot and pray together for your wife. So we're out in the parking lot at this, you know, Burgers and Wings. And I'm just shandarabasa. I mean, I'm just breaking the thing, binding it off. And he starts speaking in tongues. And it was one of those shamba, koraba. I mean, the Spirit of the Lord is upon this Baptist brother. He's getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when it's over, he goes, what am I going to do? So what do you mean you're going to? I said, you're going to go tell your board? I said, you should preach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost this Sunday. I never heard from him again. But I'm praying that what happened stuck. But just for a second, imagine or think how far God went out of his way, not really, but to orchestrate a series of events because he was that interested in giving someone a greater experience of himself. This happens to me all the time when I get on airplanes. If you follow me online, my wife is always telling me to write a book about airplane encounters. Because I kid you not, it's like every person I sit by on the plane, it's like, you know, I told you, I'll just tell you one more story. Do you like stories? One time I got upgraded to 1A. And I'm like, okay, I just started praying over 1B. You know, I didn't pay for a first class ticket. I get 1A and I'm like, praise God. Sit by this guy, start a conversation with him. He's a Baptist seminary student. Just completed his thesis. And I said, what'd you complete your thesis? And I literally held my breath. He said that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not for today. And I hadn't even told him what I did yet. Baptist brother, cessationist to the core, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not. And he's zealous. He's prideful about it. I mean, he is proud of his theological degree. Again, I want to operate in a humble spirit. I don't want to operate in some fleshly whatever. So he says, what do you do? Motivational speaker. Says, well, what do you motivate people about? I said that God loves them and he loves to speak to them. And he went. And I said, yeah, brother, he loves you and he'd love to speak to you right now. And he's like, no, bro, I don't want any of that. I said, and I got a little zealous. I said, listen, let me pray for you. And after 2 minutes of prayer, then you can tell me whether you believe God speaks today or not. He went, fine. So I laid my hand on his shoulder lightly because he was already tense. Lord, he immediately gave me a picture of this guy as an 8-year-old where his father rejected him, threw him away. Spending his whole life proving to his father the theological degree that he was going to be a somebody in life. I shared that vision with him. This guy broke. I mean, started weeping. I started ministering the Father's love and acceptance. I said, man, orphans achieve, but sons receive. Just ministering to this brother. But I'm telling you, there are people all around you. I don't know where you go, where you get gas, where you eat. Just be aware. I want to pray tonight as we're starting to get through this. But the Lord, I call it that He would awaken our spiritual senses. Sight, touch, smell. I mean, just awaken us, Lord. You know, I always tell people, if you're selfish and if you're self-centered, you're probably not going to be very prophetic. Because to be prophetic is to be other-centered. To be prophetic is to be concerned with the world around you. A lot of times people, they're not used of God because they're at the center of their universe. All right. Can I tell you one more? One time, I was in a sauna with a UFC fighter. He wasn't a pro, but he would have beat me down. I've been astounded about when the voice of God breaks in. I'm sitting in a sauna, my shirt off, the guy's shirt off. I mean, he's tattooed up. I mean, he's ripped, like 2% body fat. And I'm sitting in there, and I'm like, you know, I'm tuned out, like, all right, Lord, you know, I'm surely you can't speak in here. And the Lord says to me, I want you to ask Him when He's going to stop running from me. I said, like, no intro, just like. And again, I'm like thinking, I'm going to get jacked. I mean, this is. So I just looked this guy dead straight in the face. And I said, the Lord says, when are you going to stop running from Him? He got down off the top deck and bowed up and got this close to my face. And I said, Lord, you better speak right now or I'm about to get punched out. Immediately, I had an open vision. He was sexually abused by his babysitter. Started speaking into that. This guy ready to jack me literally melted under the weight of the word of the Lord in a 100-degree sauna. Lord gave me another word of knowledge, back pain. You've had back pain, hurt elbow. I mean, just started bam, 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 bam. And this guy, I mean, it was like he was in a fight. Like, I mean, he was getting boom, boom by the Lord, just, you know, stuttering back like, what is this? Was able to lead this brother to the Lord, even in a sauna. Now the Lord's flipped the table on me. He's done this to me. I'll tell you another sauna encounter. Airplane saunas. You know, one season I was running from the Lord. And I wasn't necessarily running in a way that you would imagine, like I was doing drugs or whatever, but I was seriously resisting the Lord about the call in my life. I just wanted to be a pastor. I just wanted to be Pastor Jeremiah and just, you know, schmooze the people and hang out and love on them. And I was running. Only the Lord knew. And I went to a sauna. Worked out, sat in a sauna. I even took a towel in to try to disclose who I was. Sometimes people, they just, you know, I'm like, hey, I'm here for me. So I get in a sauna. There's an African-American guy in the bottom row. I'm on the top row, just him and I. I put the towel over my head, and I'm just soaked in sweat. I'm tired. And out of the silence of the sauna, I hear this voice that says, I know who you are. I'm just like acting like I didn't hear anything, right? I know who you are. And I pulled the towel over my. And the guy is staring right at me. And I said, huh? He said, I know who you are. He said, when, and this is verbatim what he said to me. He said, when are you going to stop hiding behind a pulpit as a pastor and step out and become the prophet God has called you to be? I mean, I got the chills and the fear of the Lord, and I immediately thought to myself, so this is what this feels like. And I'm telling you, this guy literally rebuked me under the Spirit of the Lord, the anointing, for 10 minutes. I mean, this guy just like laid me out and filleted me. I'm like, Lord, thank that you did this in a sauna instead of just doing it in front of the whole church, right? You know, thank the Lord. But I just want to encourage you. You know, I know it sounds silly, but I've gotten to the place where I so expect God to speak that when he doesn't, that becomes abnormal. So for us, when miracles happen, it's abnormal. I want to tell you, days are coming when miracles don't happen, that's abnormal. So literally, and this happened the other day, a woman walked up to me in a restaurant, and I immediately assumed she was about to release a word from the Lord. She just wanted to tell me that the silverware fell off the table. But I caught myself ready, like, come on, lay it on me. But what if we began to look like the whoever, wherever, and not only that we began to look, what if we became the agents of Lord, anywhere and everywhere, I'm ready to yield to your Holy Spirit, and I'm ready to edify, I'm ready to encourage, I'm ready to comfort. Again, I don't run from people in wheelchairs anymore. I run to them. The Lord has broken the fear of man off of me. So literally, I'm learning how to intervene. You know, there's a prophet that I know, Jonathan Tremaine. He moved to Ferguson when the riots broke out. He's an African-American prophet who had a mandate to stand in the midst of controversy and be the voice of the Lord. He's in St. Louis right now in the riots. He literally stands in the midst of riots, and they do prayer and worship gatherings on the streets. But they're intervening. They're stepping into crisis. They're stepping into harmful situations and saying, Lord, speak. Okay? We good? So see, gift of prophecy. Acts 11. So this is actual prediction. I want to say for believers, this is the least gift when we talk about prophetic that you'll operate in. So I want to encourage you, if God has not spoken to you about the future, don't speak about it. You know, one of the things, it's like, you know, something happens, like a hurricane hits and everybody says, I knew that was going to happen. Well, my question is, why didn't you say something before? So the predictive Agabus, he was a prophet in the New Testament. He predicted a famine that actually came. So this predictive type prophecy, I believe a lot of the times it's very limited. But these are people that tell you about what's going to happen in the future. Really, it's the prophets. And we're going to get into this tomorrow, the difference between prophets and believers who operate in the gift of prophecy. Two totally different things. But it's usually your prophets who have been given that gift to prophesy into the future. Okay? D, distinguishing of spirits. Acts 16. This is intuition granted by the Holy Spirit to discern good and evil, gifting and calling, supernatural activity. So we have to be careful with this discernment or this gift of discernment, that we're actually not operating in fault finding and an accuser of the brethren spirit. A lot of people think that accusation is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. They think that being critical and judgmental is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, what's the difference? Here's the main difference between discernment and a critical, judgmental spirit. The main difference is found in what's the goal of it. Discernment comes to heal. Critical fault-finding comes to hurt. Okay, so this discernment of spirit in Acts 16, there's a young girl following Paul and the disciples, the apostles, and she's saying, these are men of the Most High God. And we would probably be saying, yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. And Paul has the discernment to turn around and rebuke this woman who's full of demons. I always like picture, sometimes I like to be funny, but I just picture, like, you know, some sister listening to a preacher saying, "Amen, praise the Lord, keep preaching." And he's like, "I rebuke you in the name of the Lord." And boom, demons come out. But this discernment is more than just knowing good and evil. This discernment, a lot of times, it can tell, or it operates knowing people's occupation. It can separate good and evil, angels and demonic activity. I myself have had a lot of encounters. I've cast out devils out of many people. I've dealt with territorial spirits, lots of different things. I'm someone, you know, this is Matt, my assistant. Can we give Matt a round of applause? Matt works in Lakeland and travels with me around the earth. But I was talking with Matt today. Part of the way that God has wired me is when I step into someone's home personally, the first thing that comes to me is the spiritual environment in their home. When I step into a hotel, it's me. I can't fight it anymore. When I walk into a place, I'm immediately aware of what's going on in the spirit realm, right? So people can't fool me very easily, right? That's why, you know, people don't invite me over for dinner, because they're like, you know, preparing me the food, and I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? But I'll tell you just a quick story. I did some trips to Canada several years ago. The Lord, Spirit of the Lord began to break out on weekends, and so we tried to steward the revival in a way that was practical. So I began to fly to Edmonton, Canada once a month and have five nights in a row of revival as God was moving. And there was a girl that came down to the altar that I'd cast demons out of. I had discerned the spirit that was operating in her. We cast the demons out of her. She got set free. She literally puked. You know, it was like one of those revivals where they had to go out and buy waste baskets because people were just vomiting in the altars. I mean, getting radically delivered and set free. But I went that one month and came back the following month, and I got picked up by the pastor, and he said, "Hey, we're going to go to a special dinner." And I'm like, "Okay." He said, "You remember that one girl that you cast the demons out of? Her father is actually the governor of the province. He's invited us over for dinner." So I'm like, this is going to be awesome. So we go over to this guy's mansion. It's huge. We sit down at this huge table, and he serves lamb. I start laughing. So I'm like, you don't have to be prophetic to miss. He's serving the Lamb of God. God is setting a table for himself in the midst of this. And I knew instantly we're going to have a Holy Ghost time. So the guy and his wife sit down. I start ministering to them. We start getting them set free and delivered. And it was like one thing after the other. Out of that revival, I literally kid you not, there was a testimony where a young man came and got saved in the meeting, radically delivered. He goes home and orders a pizza. The pizza man shows up, walks in, starts weeping. They cast demons, like the guy had been saved like 2 hours. Cast demons out of the pizza driver, and the pizza driver was in the meeting the next night. I mean, just one after the other after the other. We knew it. This God is doing something amazing. But there's all sorts of different ways that this spirit manifests and it operates. But I believe that the church in America is seriously lacking in discernment. Seriously lacking the ability to see through people. To not be... what's maybe a right word? To not be deceived by someone's gifting. Just because someone is working miracles doesn't mean they're not having an affair on their wife. Just because someone is prophesying accurately doesn't mean they're right with God. Things are not always as they seem. I'll tell one more story. There was a woman that was coming to our church, having nightmares and being attacked in her sleep, and so we anointed with her with oil, and we prayed, and the demonic manifestations just kept coming, and I knew something was off, something wasn't right here. So I said, "Well, let me take a house visit. I'll come out to your house and we'll anoint the whole thing with oil." So I drove out to this woman and her husband's house, and I sat at the table. And for whatever reason, the Lord highlighted to me like the third cabinet door. And we're talking and we anointed the house and, you know, thank you very much. And I said, what's in that cabinet right there? They went, what is a ghost? I said, yeah, why don't you go open that cabinet? They open up the cabinet. It's full of liquor. I said, well, there's your open door right there. It said, you are inviting spirits into your home to come and attack you because you're drinking every night. I never saw them again either. But sometimes the demonic realm gains access to open doors that we have in our life. And so I want to encourage you, if you're dealing with demons, if you're dealing with someone that has demonic strongholds in their life, there are always open doors. It can be everything from unforgiveness to bitterness to all, you know, sexual acts, all sorts of things that we have to address and get to the root of. But a church that is strong in discernment is not easily deceived. Amen. All right, Roman numeral 3. How you guys doing? Are we good? We need to take a stretching break. We good? All right, you locked in. We're almost done, and then we're going to pray. All right, the prophetic process. There is a process in receiving and delivering prophecy that is a key to moving in the gift. So, A, revelation. In this stage of the prophetic process, we receive the revelation God has given us for what it is. The prophetic can come in many different forms, which we'll discuss in the following section. So I want you to look around the room tonight and just pick somebody. Go ahead. Just pick somebody in the room. All right, you got somebody? Yes? Got somebody? Okay. So we're here tonight. We've heard the word of the Lord. Paul says, don't be ignorant of spiritual gifts. Then he says, I want you to zealously lust after the spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. What's prophecy? It's sharing the mind and heart of God with people. It's sharing his word. Okay, so we're going to pursue that. What's the parameters? What's the limitations? Okay, it needs to be edifying. It needs to be full of exhortation, and it needs to be full of comfort. So we're not going to bash people. We're not going to call out their sin. We're not going to shame them. None of that is allowed here. Okay, so what can it look like? It can be words of knowledge. It can be words of wisdom. It can be discernment into their situation. Maybe you even have a future word about their life. Okay, so you have somebody picked out, right? All right, so the first stage of this is revelation. We receive from the Lord. So I want you to close your eyes, and I just want you to just ask the Lord. We're just going to take 30 seconds. But I just want you to ask the Lord right now for his heart, for his mind, his words, for the person that you picked. Needs to be edifying. Needs to be encouraging. It needs to be comforting. Maybe it's a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. Maybe it's discernment about something they're going through. Maybe it's something about their future. Okay, you can look up. Revelation, we receive. B, interpretation. In this crucial stage, we begin to engage the Holy Spirit by asking him specifics of what he revealed to us. So based off of the exercise we just did, how many of you received some type of picture or vision? When we just went to that prayer time, how many, just raise them high. How many of you saw like a picture or a vision? Raise them high. Okay, how many of you felt like you didn't see anything, but you heard something? I want you to raise your hand. How many of us felt like we got nothing? We heard cockroaches chirp. I meant grasshoppers. Okay, so I want us to bow our heads again. Okay, we're just participating, okay? So I want you to think about that person again. Lord, open up our ears, our eyes. Holy Spirit, help us. But I just want you to ask the Lord, Father, give me your heart, your words, your mind for this person? How can I encourage them with something from you? Okay, how many of you didn't get something last time, but you got something this time? Raise your hand. Okay, a couple more of you. How many of you in this room feel like you've got something for somebody? Raise your hand. The first time or the second time? Raise your hand. Okay, we're receiving. We're receiving revelation from the Lord. B, now we're interpreting. So we have to begin to learn how to interpret what we're seeing. We have to learn how to interpret what we're hearing. This is the most difficult part of the prophetic process, learning how to interpret what you're seeing and what you're hearing. So one time I was walking down the road, and I passed by a woman and her husband, and I got a picture of a hurricane that came through. So immediately I asked the Lord, is this a good hurricane or is this a bad hurricane? Maybe sometimes you see somebody and you get a picture of a flood. Is that a good flood or is that a bad flood? We start interacting and asking questions of the Holy Spirit about what we're seeing. So if you have on your sheet, it says, we seek to establish prognosis instead of diagnosis. We seek to establish prognosis instead of diagnosis. So in other words, as prophetic people, we want to give solutions rather than state problems. So in other words, God could show you this person has a broken heart. How many of you know that person probably knows they have a broken heart? A lot of times what we pass off as prophecy is we're just diagnosing the wrong we see in people. Well, I see that you have a broken, messed up relationship. Okay, but how is that encouraging? How is that comforting? What it doesn't, here's my heart. It doesn't take someone to be prophetic to tell someone what's wrong with their life. Hello, it doesn't take someone prophetic to tell you what's wrong with America. And it's a trap that a lot of prophetic people get caught in. I mean, you know, and I'm like, amen, but so what? Give me a solution. We don't want to hear you have cancer. Okay, is there a way out? Is there some good news that you can give me? So if any of you got a picture, you heard something that maybe in your heart you felt, oh, something is going on with this person, I want to encourage you to begin to interact with the Holy Spirit. What I tell people is don't prophesy the first thing, prophesy the second thing. So here's how it works. We pick somebody, or I would pick somebody, and the Lord would give me a diagnosis for their life. This is what they're going through. I would say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you've showed me they're going through. What do you want to do now? So if the Lord gave me a word of knowledge that so-and-so has been sexually abused, typically I wouldn't say that. I would say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving me a word of knowledge about what has happened to them. Now I want to bring them a solution. Father, you want to be love for them. You know, for me, when I start ministering over men who I know are dealing with pornography, I usually don't say, the Lord says you're looking at porn. There's obviously a reason they're looking at porn. They obviously are lacking a revelation of the Father's love and His affirmation for their life. So I start moving in what I call an opposite spirit. I start moving, and if I know somebody is bound in depression, I'm going to immediately start prophesying the light and love of God the Father for their life. If I sense someone is struggling with a root of rejection, I'm going to immediately begin to start prophesying the acceptance, the love of the Father for their life. You guys following me? So it's revelation, interpretation. And then C is application. This stage provides a very practical approach to the prophetic word that has been received and interpreted. In other words, how does this apply to the person's life? Where does it fit? Remember, true prophecy always gives us a prayer agenda. All right, is this helping anybody? I want you to close your eyes one more time. Revelation, interpretation, application. I want you to think about that person. We've prayed for them twice now. We're going to pray for them a third time. I want us to ask the Lord again, Father, speak to us about the person that we picked. Receive from him. Do your best to interpret. And Lord, how do you want me to apply this to their life? Where does it fit? Are you speaking about the present, the future, the past? Okay, here's one more piece of it. Romans chapter 12 says that they that prophesy, prophesy according to their level of faith. Here's the deal, just going to be honest. A lot of people carry the word of the Lord and his heart, but they lack the faith to step out and actually give it. A lot of people carry the mind and heart of God for other people, but they are scared to death not only to tell someone they know, I think this is what God might be saying, but they would be terrified at the thought of daring to tell their waitress, this is what God is saying for your life. I want you to ask and make it a prayer, Lord, give me the gift of faith. Increase my boldness. You're going to make mistakes. Did I really just say that? I'm going to get into this tomorrow, but I'll just mention it briefly. You are not a false prophet worthy of being stoned just because you thought you had a word of knowledge for somebody and you were wrong. I share with people my prophetic journey. It started really young. My mom had a dream when I was in her womb to name me Jeremiah, that there would be great complications that would mark my birth. So I myself was born dead. I was just black and blue. I was miraculously revived in the hospital. God began to speak to me at night in dreams when I was 7 years old. And by the time I was 9 years old, I was prophesying from in my dad's church. I just kind of grew up in a very prophetic environment. But I will tell you that when I began to exercise the gift of prophecy on an almost daily basis, I missed it all the time. I'm going to tell you, I still probably miss it. I know it sounds so weird, right? To me, you want to talk about the fear of the Lord. Here's who I have the fear of the Lord for. Prophets who think they can never miss it. People that are convinced that every word that they say is a, I don't know. I certainly don't want to make excuses for bad prophecy or for missing it all the time. I don't believe in that either. But I'm never going to let pride grow so strong in my heart that I just think I can walk up and just start calling people out and everything that I say is gospel. I'm not going to walk down that path. But I want to encourage you, how I started is we were probably losers in high school, but I would get, you know, friends together and we would prophesy to each other. We'd have worship, we'd hear from the Lord, and just like we did right here, we'd do prophetic exercises. you know, part of the, I was in a season of really intense prophetic training with several prophetic fathers that I was with several years ago, but we would do this all the time. We would get to the point where we would blindfold each other. You know, and they would set people in front of you that you didn't know who was seated in front of you. And you would have to rely on the Spirit to speak to you about that person you couldn't even see. But we can practice hearing the voice of God, making His voice known to our friends and family, so that when you go to work, when you're out and about, you gain more confidence. Amen? But my heart is simply, if you tell people this needs to be encouraging, this needs to be comforting, this, they shouldn't be scared. You know, we're not here to reveal people's sins. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He'll come and bring conviction to people's hearts. But I want to encourage you, don't be afraid to miss it. Don't be afraid to step out and learn and grow. Okay? It might be a little difficult, but here's how we receive prophetic words. A, intimacy. Here's this, pursue love. Spend time with God every day. Guidance and insight into our lives and the lives of others is a byproduct of relationship. So I want to encourage you. The Bible says, sheep know His voice. We know the voice of our shepherd by learning how to become sheep that lay down in green pastures and spend time with their Father. There were many seasons in my life where I would sit for hours and hours every day with God in complete silence, just training my ears how to hear His voice. I want to encourage you to get out of the clutter, the noise, social media. Get away from all that. Shut down the voices so that you're in tune with His voice. So just spend time with Him. Be prayer. Many of the public prophetic words God wants to release over His people come through private intercession and prayer. So I'm just going to encourage you, pray for people. As you pray for them, God will speak to you about them. How many people have ever that happened to you? Started out in prayer, you got a burden, you found, and you just, God began to speak to you and reveal certain things about the person's life that you could share with them. So prayer, have a prayer life. Intimacy with the Lord. See the Word of God. Mentioned this before, that fill in the blank there on C is highlight. So how many of you have a regular devotional life? You read the Word on a daily basis. I want to encourage you not only to do that. There's a man who lives between the lines of Scripture. His name is Jesus. Every word in the Bible is anointed. I just don't read the Bible for information. I read it for impartation. But as you're reading the Word of God, ask the Holy Spirit, does anyone else need to hear this today? Here's what happens to me all the time. I'll literally text somebody that God puts on my heart a verse that I read this morning, and all of a sudden they're like, how did you know that? How many people have ever heard? I do this all the time. I'm reading the Word of God. Someone will come to my mind. I'll text them and call them, and it's like, how did you know that? I minister with a prophet one time, an older guy. Excuse me. His prophetic ministry was he gave people scriptures. Never seen anything like it. He would literally stand people up and say, the Lord says this verse and this verse and this verse. Sit down. You. The Lord says this verse. It was so, I was blown. The guy had memorized 80% of the Bible. But it was amazing. He was like, people loved this man's prophetic ministry because he was a walking, talking Bible. And what they ended up saying was, what he did for people is he gave them the eternal written Word of God to grab a hold of. And it was powerful. It was mighty. And so the Lord can speak to us personally through His Word, but He can use the Word to speak to other people. D, impressions or burdens. Many times God will allow us to feel, sense, and experience the pain and burdens of others and even his own heart that will lead us into receiving and delivering prophecy. So prophetic people are burden bearers. We are feelers. When we walk into different places, when we get around people, we pick a lot of, you know, women, you're like, this is what it means to be a female. A lot of guys are out there, but most women are, they're intuitive. They can just, they know when something's wrong. You can't fake them out, that kind of thing. Guys, we need to get better at this too. Okay, but the burdens, a lot of times what you're feeling around you is clues. God is giving you clues about, again, what's going on around you. And that's where we begin to dialogue with the Holy Spirit and begin to ask him, why are you showing me this? What are you trying to say through this? Which leads me, E, to physical pain. Words of knowledge leading to prayers of faith and miracles. We have to get beyond the coincidence mindset. This used to happen to me all the time. I would go to the grocery store and be checking out, and my right knee would be killing me. And I'm like thinking, I'm perfectly healthy. What I didn't realize at a young age is the reason why my knee was hurting was God was trying to clue me in that someone around me had a hurt knee. So now when this happens, I feel physically fine right now, but if I'm like in a gas station and I walk in and all of a sudden my back starts killing me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk around and ask somebody, does your back hurt? Because God is allowing me to feel the pain of the world around me as a word of knowledge, letting me know someone in here has back pain. And it's amazing. It happens all the time. The word of knowledge releases the faith for the healing. So I walk up to somebody and say, hey, does your back hurt? How did you know that? I said, oh, my back started hurting. God was sharing your pain with me. Can I pray for you? Bam, they get healed every time because they're opened up to a supernatural awareness. So again, like I said earlier, I'm going to pray in a minute that the Lord would activate our spiritual senses. You know, you walk into a place and you get a splitting migraine headache. Hello, it might just not be you. I've ministered in regions of the United States where a spirit of confusion comes upon me. I remember one night I'm trying to preach and I'm like thinking, what? What is wrong? I can't even read the notes. And the Lord's like, there's a spirit of confusion in the room that needs to be broken. So we began to contend and broke the spirit of confusion off the room. And it was like I was seeing 2020 again. So sometimes God speaks through us through physical pain. F, you see God thoughts. Some prophetic people see phrases, words, or things in the spirit that they can't explain. Others have words just drop in their spirit. Now, when I'm around the Baptist camp, they don't like the word prophetic. So I tell them, I had a God thought. And they're okay with that. I had something come to me, you know, because I don't care. I don't care what you want to call it. For a lot of people on the street, I just say, hey, I'd like to share with you a word of encouragement. You'd be amazed how open people are to the supernatural these days. It's more than ever. I hardly ever have somebody turn me down. People are there, yeah, go for it. Take your shot. Take your pick. So when sometimes people see things, and again, I'm talking about in the spirit realm, okay? They see things over people like this woman in the glasses you're sitting next to, a guy in the green. Yeah, like what I see over you is prophetic intercessor. Like it's like the Lord has marked you and there's about to be, I feel like, a fountain bubbling up inside of you. And I really feel like you've been searching for a tribe. You've been searching for people that really understand you. And I really feel like you're coming into development and maturity in the gifts God has given you. But you need to know there's a prophetic intercession thing on you. There's a well that's coming up out of you and you're in the right climate. I feel like you've not been in the right climate to facilitate your growth that you need, but now you're in the right climate. So I just want to encourage you to step into that. And there's just a lot more for you. It's like baby steps, but there's a lot more. Okay? Is that encouraging? Okay. Sometimes I just see things over people. So we'll get to a little bit more of that here in a second. Visions. This is seeing in the spirit realm. It could come through pictures. It's similar. Sometimes people just have open visions. The Lord just kind of opens up things and shows them things about people's life. H, dreams. How many of you feel like you have prophetic dreams? Many people. You know, that's a blessing of being a part of a prophetic house. Do you realize that? Many people don't know that. This house is prophetic. So one of the blessings of being connected to a prophetic church is you will dream. You will have visions. A spirit of prophecy will come upon you because the Holy Spirit is not quenched here. Think about it. Joel said, in the last days, God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit. Sons and daughters are going to prophesy. People are going to see dreams, have dreams and see visions. So, in churches where there's no dreaming, where people are not prophesying and seeing visions, the Holy Spirit is being quenched. And that is a startling statement, being that in many churches in America, no one's dreaming at night. The word of prophecy is not coming forth, and no one's having open vision. So when you get connected, the Bible says, honor a prophet, and you will receive a prophet's reward. Now, the contemporary prophets want to make this all about money, right? So you sow your $10,000 seed, and you know, you get a Bentley, and the back of poverty broke off your mama and your grandmama and your baby mama and whoever's mama, okay? I'll tell you the truth, because I'm not here for money. Are you ready? The prophet's reward, honor a prophet, and you receive the reward of a prophet. The reward of a prophet is the ability to see and hear. So when you honor prophets, you are honoring the spiritual grace and blessing that they carry that will open up the spirit realm to you. Now, I'm all for, if you value that in your life, sow into it. But I want people to know, when you sow and you give money, you give resources into the prophets of God, what you're doing is you're releasing spiritual awakening to your life. And you know, the American culture is so carnal, they value a new house and a new car over, you can have all that. I want to live under an open heaven, amen? I want to be in a gate of encounter for people. So the ability to see and to hear. So when you're connected to prophets, when you're connected to prophetic churches, there's a well of the supernatural that's available to them. People, for example, they'll stay in my house, my personal house, and people that have never dreamed start dreaming. I had a guy one time try to buy my bed. What a weirdo. But the dude was really into, I want the spiritual dreams that you have. Let me buy your bed. I'm like, dude, you're a weirdo. Get out of here. But dreaming, and again, a lot of people are prophetic dreamers, but the gift of dream interpretation is typically an entire thing altogether. So if you're a prophetic dreamer and you're not married yet, pray that you would marry a dream interpreter. It will make your life a lot easier. See, that my problem is, a lot of people from the United States, they know me for the dreams that I've had, but to them that means I'm a dream interpreter. So people just send us emails after emails. One guy sent us 5,000 dreams that he had. I'm like, dude, I'm not going to read them. Sorry, I don't know what they mean. So there's the gift of dreams, and then there's dream interpretation. All right, how'd we do? How many of you feel hungry for more prophetic? So we're just getting started. We're just getting started. Tomorrow morning, we're going to get into session 2. Tomorrow night, we're going to do session 3. Hang with me here. And then on Sunday morning, I'm gonna release a word to you guys. Confusing. Be Because many dreams are symbolic in nature. They are often confusing to many. People said amen. Confusing to those that hear them. So we're going to get into this. I want to encourage you. Again, if you want more, we have a prophetic school back there that I do called the Samuel Company. For example, nothing that we go over this weekend is in that teaching. So if you get filled up, this, there's more back there. There's a school of the Holy Spirit back there. There's a lot of different resources that can help you in your journey. But what we're going to do this weekend is just scratch the surface, okay? We're going to open up the prophetic. One of the things that you're going to be blessed by this weekend, even more potentially receiving a personal prophecy, is the spirit realm is going to be opened up to you. And in every church in the book of Revelation, the seven churches, Jesus says, those that have ears, those that have eyes, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. When Jesus walked the earth, he said the same thing in the Gospels. They that have ears, what is he saying? Not everyone is listening and not everyone is seeing. We are going to see the prophecy of Isaiah filled in our day, and I hate to say that. We are living amongst the people that are ever hearing but never perceiving. We're ever seeing but not understanding. So do not take for granted the voice of the Lord. Do not take for granted the spiritual realm that you're going to pick up on. But it's an impartation. The Lord's given me authority to pray over dreams. I'm just going to release an open heaven tonight over your dream life. I want to cancel all nightmares, any insomnia, anything going on in your dreams. I just want to cancel that in Jesus' name. And I just want to speak a blessing of the Lord over your life. I know we're going to take up an offering. And again, I just want to encourage you, you know, as you sow into the ministry God has given me, my personal prayer and what I see as people sow into my ministry is the spirit realm opens up to them. They begin to operate in a prophetic realm that they've never operated in before. And I believe the Lord will bless you. He blesses us. Amen. Things can be physical in nature, but I believe the Lord really wants us to go after sowing into the spirit realm this weekend. Okay? So why don't you grab the hand of the person next to you? Hallelujah. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, why don't you begin to pray in the Spirit? And if you haven't, just pray in English. But I just want to interact and dial up with Holy Spirit tonight. And just let's just begin to thank Him tonight for this meeting. Thank Him for all that we've learned so far. Come on, there's a new connection coming. Come on, there's God internet coming in this place. He's about to dial us up like never before. Holy Spirit, we ask right now that you would connect us to what you're doing in the earth. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would connect us to the world around us. Come on, just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Let's stir up the gifts within us. Lord, I ask that you would awaken our spiritual senses. Taste and touch. Sight. Smells. Lord, let us smell the fragrance of heaven. Lord, I ask for an awakening to come. Lord, we say, I just prophesy an awakening of the voice of the Lord in Bluefield. Lord, we just prophesy that this church will be a hub of the voice of the Lord. We thank you that the voice of the Lord shall run swiftly and accomplish every purpose that God has sent for it. Lord, activate the spiritual gifts in this room. I want to encourage you right now to begin to zealously lust, whatever that looks like, begin to cry out and say, Lord, I want the gifts of the Holy Spirit in my life. Lord, would you activate them right now in Jesus' name? Lord, we call forth the dreamers. We call forth the visionaries. Lord, we call forth the watchmen. Lord, I thank you for the sound that's coming. We thank you for the prophetic worship. We thank you for the prophetic preaching. We thank you for the prophetic evangelism. Lord, we're asking for a prophetic spirit to fall upon this place. Lord, we're asking for a greater dimension of the prophetic spirit to fall upon each and every one of us. That they would all know me. That they would all know me from the least to the greatest. I just feel like the Lord is saying to even those that call this place home, it's time to mature. It's time to mature. You cannot rely on the voice of your pastor any longer. I feel like the Lord is saying that I am multiplying the prophetic anointing. There's prophetic training that's coming. There's prophetic activation that's coming. I'm going to raise up a company of prophetic people in this city. I'm raising up an army of prophetic intercessors and end-time musicians in America. I will release my prophetic spirit in the earth just like I promised, says the Lord. Dreams and visions and words of prophecy. Come on, they're yours. Just receive it. He said it. Dreams and visions and prophecy. Lord, I pray over every person's sleep in this room. Lord, I ask that you would open up the spirit realm. Lord, I break off all nightmares in the name of Jesus. Reoccurring dreams of past relationships that were sinful. We break all soul ties right now in the name of Jesus. And we renounce all sin right now in the name of Jesus. We plead your blood and we ask, Lord, let there be an open heaven in the spirit realm as we sleep. Come on, Lord, release hunger. Release hunger. Teach it what it means to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Especially prophecy, Lord, release hunger. Release an awakening of the gifts of the Holy Spirit again. You know, one of the last dreams that Bob Jones had before he died was the Spirit of the Lord said to him that he was going to take the spirit that rested on Bob and many of the, I don't want to call them superheroes, but many of the well-known names in the charismatic movement, and he was going to multiply the anointing in the earth. So that rather than the spirit resting heavily upon one person out of a million, it would multiply. That there would be an increased anointing and measure of the prophetic spirit all over the earth. That you would literally imagine you would walk into churches and they can all prophesy. That you would walk into churches and miracles would manifest. And because guy in the back row leaned over and, because this is becoming non-important in the church. The Lord is smashing this idol. He wants to empower you at your work. He wants to empower you at the gas station. He wants to use you to release his voice through you wherever that he goes. Amen. Amen, sir, on the back row, will you come down? Yeah. I just want to encourage some of you, and I'm just kind of trying to break it down, break it out, or stretch it out, I should say, this weekend. Will you just stretch your hand out toward this brother? And I want to encourage you just to pray for him as I pray for him and ask the Lord to give you something for him. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you that you're setting this brother's feet on a solid rock like never before. And I just thank you for the call to be an evangelist in your body. Lord, I just thank you that there's an anointing for soul winning, to not only see people saved, but God has called you to see them delivered and set free. And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just prophesy sozo over this brother. Saved, delivered, and set free. And there's an anointing to see drug addicts set free on your life. And so, Lord, we just pray for a fresh wave of the Holy Spirit and fire just to be breathed upon him in the name of Jesus. The Lord says that you are a Joshua to this generation. The Father says, I believe in you, son. I am standing in your corner. I have not left you nor forsake you. The Lord says, I will raise you up as a trophy of my grace in this generation. I have given you chance after chance after chance. And even as David said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. My mercy shall pursue you. My grace shall overwhelm you. The Lord says, I'm going to overtake you in these days. And I'm freeing you from you. And I just command Satan to loose his grip off of your mind right now in the name of Jesus. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. And so, Lord, I ask that you'd fill this man. Fill him, fill him, fill him. From the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, Lord, set him on fire. Fire, fire, fire. Cookie cutter church will not do for you, sir. Three songs and a nice message won't cut it. The Lord says there's a strong gift of discernment in you. You can see the frauds and you can see the fakes. You're desiring something real. You hate the spirit of religion. Going through the motions didn't work out for you, and it won't work out for them either. And I see God giving you a strong message for youth and young adults that are growing up in Christian homes, going through the motions, and are going to end up in jail. They're going to end up not serving the Lord because they never had an encounter. And the Lord says, son, I'm preparing you for a great encounter, an encounter that you've never known before. It's called the Father's love. You're a strong man, you're a warrior, but God has called you to know his love. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. So Lord, we bless this brother. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. I want to have you come up in the, yeah. All right, let's stretch your hand out toward her. Hallelujah. Lord, I give you praise for this woman, that you've preserved her and kept her all these years. Lord says, do not run from your calling. Lord says, you are prophetic through and through. I formed you in your mother's womb. My hand has been upon your life. You are not a mistake. The attacks of the devil have been great. They've been heavy upon you. For he has attempted to take you out through depression and fear and anxiety. The Lord says that I am with you, mighty warrior. I'm restoring the things that the locust came and ate. The Lord says, I'm freeing you from guilt right now and all forms of regret right now in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, I just take authority over her mind. And I just free you from all fear and all anxiety. I break false accusation off of your life right now. You're just under strong demonic assault right now. The onslaught of the enemy is against you heavily. The Lord says that I will be with you. My wings are covering you even now. What you're going through is not in vain. It's for a purpose because you were created on purpose. There's a great price for your calling. I will never give up on you. I'm just asking that you don't give up on me. You know my voice. You know the love that I have for you. I just see like a python, like a constricting, suffocating. There's a spirit of witchcraft that's come against you, a controlling, manipulating spirit. So, Lord, I just break that off right now in the name of Jesus. I just command you to loose your grip off of her. You have no place in her life. The Lord says, you are mine. Fire of the Lord. Just be still and I'm going to fight for you. Just be still and I'm going to fight for you. Just begin to thank the Lord all over the room. I just want to thank Him and begin to rejoice. Just prophesy victory over you. We just thank the Lord for what He's done here, but what He's going to do in the future. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. My voice will be with you wherever you go. There's going to be a book that's going to come out of this in the years ahead. What the Lord is doing in you, He's going to use to unlock things around you. So we just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That girl next to you. You're up. Batter's up. Here comes the pitch. Let's just stay locked in. Let's stay engaged. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just thank you that there's divine placement over you. God, I'm just asking right now that you would place this daughter exactly where you want her. And I see like an unsettling, like tectonic plates that have been shifting, and you're searching right now. You're searching and you're hungering for that tribe, that connection in the spirit realm. And Lord, we just loose divine connections over this daughter right now. Mothers and fathers, in the name of Jesus, that can help you advance to that next stage in God. And I just see a ladder being thrown out to you. And the Lord says you're entering into a season of ascending the hill of the Lord. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? They with clean hands and a pure heart. And I just see messages of fire and holiness and purity coming out of you. I just feel like a massive confrontation with the sin of this generation. God has marked you and given you dove's eyes. There's a call of a Nazarite upon you to be set apart and holy unto the Lord. What others don't consider sin, you will consider sin. And the Lord says there's a coming tension as I consecrate you, as I set you apart from my purposes. And I see a couple of trips that you're going to take in the next 2 years. I see you going to some conferences in different places, picking up divine assignments and helping you to grow and learn in your purpose and your destiny. I really sense that you're seeking purpose and destiny. You're trying to grow in the gifts God has given you. And the Lord says, I will reward the purity of your pursuit. The Lord says, what I love about you is the purity of your pursuit and the purity of your passion. That's attractive to me, says the Lord. That's lovely to me. I'm not going to turn you away, says the Lord. I will honor your hunger. There's a place for you at my table. You see, like a warrior princess anointing. It's got your name written on it. Come dine with me. Come sit with me as I make a table in the presence of your enemies. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Come on, I want that word. Amen. Brother in the blue and the green, will you come? All right, let's stretch out our hands toward this brother. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I just see the anointing all around you. And the Lord says that you have been raised in the anointing. You're familiar with the anointing of God. But the Lord says that I have called you to be a man of character. The Lord says that I'm raising up messengers in this hour that will have character that will match the anointing upon their life. And I just feel like the Lord is saying, son, I'm more interested in changing you than using you. There's a definite call on your life. There's a call to ministry. There's a call to minister to the Lord, even in front of people. But I feel like the Lord is saying, I'm about to hide you away. This might not be what you wanted to hear, but I feel like the Lord is saying, I'm about to hide you up in a prayer room, in a prayer closet, and give me the key because I'm going to throw it away. And the Lord says that, I just feel like the Lord is saying, I baptize you in the name of Jesus into 6 months of silence. Lord says, I'm about to do this, not because I'm mad at you, but because I love you. Not because of the sin in your life, but because of the call on your life. And the Lord says, give me the next 6 months of your life, and I'll be with you the next 60. Prophesy to you that after this 6 months, it's not a sabbatical, it's a pressing in. I feel like the Lord is saying, get in my face. Just prophesy to you, you're about to get in the face of God. He's about to show you your own face in your own life. I just feel like the Lord is saying, do not fear the mirror that I'm about to set before you. The Lord says, you will seek me with prayer. You will seek me with fasting. You will seek me with instruments and singing. You will seek me and you will find me. Transformation. I truly believe that as you give these next 6 months to the Lord, coming out, people are not even going to recognize you. But the Lord says, I warn you. I warn you of this generation who operates in the anointing but does not have character. It will not be so with you. There's a song. It's called Clear the Stage. I really feel like you're supposed to look that up and listen to that. But that's going to be your anthem in the next 6 months. Clear the Stage. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do you know that song I'm talking about? Who sings that stage? I can hear it. I'd try to sing, but I'm a terrible singer. I'll get it. In the blonde and the purple, will you come? It's always funny when two people come up once, you're like, oh well. What's your name?
Deirdre.
Okay. Let's stretch out our hands toward, come on, we're getting a good arm workout tonight. Hallelujah. I get a picture of a flower that has endured many, many seasons. And Lord, I thank you for this this woman in her life that is like a leaf that has not withered. And I thank you that she has chosen to set her roots alongside a river that will never run dry. And God, I thank you for this woman's life. I thank you for the assignments that she's been faithful to. And I just hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that I'm releasing you from some assignments, and I'm about to unleash new ones. And the Lord says that I've called you like an intercessor, like a general, to contend that the seed that I have put in this next generation would go down deep. And I just see assignments, prayer agendas for prodigals, for people to return back home. I feel like the Lord is saying that I'm going to call you to the wall. There's a call to the wall upon your life like never before. And you will contend for the promises of God to come to pass in children and youth. I really feel like 18 to 35 is going to be your wheelhouse. Young adults becoming passionate and zealous for them to grow up into all things. And so, Lord, I pray right now that you, and I feel like the Lord is saying, you need to be connected to apostles. You need to be connected to prophets. Lord, I just lift a ceiling over this woman's head right now that religion has placed upon her. And the Lord, I feel like the Lord is saying, you've been connected to pastors, but I'm about to connect you to apostles and prophets that are going to open up the spirit realm and release a greater impartation like never before. So in the name of Jesus, fire, fire, fire from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. There's more. There's more. There's more. There's more. I just hear Dutch sheets. Lord, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that this woman would become a partaker of Dutch's ministry, that there are keys. I feel like the Lord is saying there's an Isaiah 22:22 anointing, the keys of David. In the name of Jesus, you're carrying keys for your region. More, more, more. More, more, more. Yeah, and you're a networker. The Lord says you're about to connect the dots, not only in your life, but you need to connect the dots for many people. The Lord says, I've called you to host strategic gatherings in the days ahead. The Lord says you're going to bring voices, voices like many rushing waters together. You have a place in this generation. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Just hear the Lord saying, Don't forget to have fun. You have a serious call. But don't forget to enjoy these days. Go on vacation. Take care of yourself. I'm into that too. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, to my wife, that would have been a dangerous word, you know. So Doyle's coming to Florida next weekend, so can't be getting any ideas, you know. In the blue, you're blonde, will you come? Yeah. Let's stretch out our hands to this young lady. Thank you, Father. Do I know you? No. Last year. Right there. Okay. I don't remember anything, but Father, we thank you for this woman. I see like a something trapped in your womb. And I feel like the Lord is saying there's been a delay. And so, Father, we just thank you that you're in the delay. There's a prophetic spirit upon you that's brought great tension because you sense things deeply in the spirit that other people are not picking up on in the natural. And so you've known things about people where you perceive that there was something demonic, something evil in their agenda. And you've gone to people that you've trusted and they've not listened to you. They've not accepted or received your counsel. And I just feel like the Lord is saying he wants just to encourage you that you have heard him correctly, that you can hear him, that you've not been wrong. There's some type of Jezebel spirit that's contending upon you, like a control spirit trying to shut you up and silence you, almost into like a demonic submission thing. And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just loose this woman and loose your voice through her. I just feel like the Lord wants to protect you from anger and unforgiveness. So Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, I just ask that you would protect our sister. The Lord says that you will not be defined by what you're going through right now. You will be defined by how you respond to what you're going through now. Like the Lord is saying that the right response will unlock the right future. So Lord, we just want to pray. I just even pray over your mind. You've been going through a lot of attacks on your mind all the way down your spine. There's some aches that your body's going through right now. And so Lord, I just ask right now that you would just release your spirit upon this woman. We break off all attacks on her mind, on her physical body, the stress that she's going through. You're in a Jeremiah 6:16 season. Stand at the crossroads. You're at a crossroads. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for wisdom. Ask where the good way is, and I will find you rest for your soul. We pray for great wisdom. We pray for a great support system. It's like the Lord is saying, hold on, hold your ground. Hold your ground. My grace is perfect in your weakness right now. Just hold your ground. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're welcome. You're welcome. So is this your daughter by chance? Yeah, totally makes sense. Come on. See? Is it dinner time yet? All right, let's stretch our hands toward, what's your name? Amaya. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for this sunshine on a rainy day. Father, we just thank you for the plans that you have for her. Plans to prosper her and to give her a hope for a future. And the Lord says that I formed you in your mother's womb. I set you apart. My hand has been upon you. The Lord says that I've put great maturity upon you that's made it hard to get along with your peers. You're wiser than them. You're more mature. And so you gravitate toward older people. You like hanging around them, but sometimes they don't understand you. The Lord says that part of the prophetic call in your life is that you're going to be misunderstood. Part of the prophetic call in your life is that you feel and that you sense so deeply. And I just pull you out of this depression right now in the name of Jesus. All forms of loneliness, I just command to leave your life right now. Just feel like the Lord is saying, I'm with you even in your room. I feel like the Lord is saying, your room is a special place with me. I feel like the Lord is saying that I hear everything. And I just feel like the Lord wants you to know that part of the power of your calling is that you're real with God. And I see like a strong songwriting thing on you. And I see you writing songs where you not only share about when you feel great, but you're going to share about when you feel bad. And there's a niche, there's a lane or a sweet spot where you're going to specifically minister to people in the body of Christ that have had miscarriages. You're going to speak to people in the body of Christ that have gone through death. In fact, the Lord is saying that I will use your music, I will use your life to pull people up out of the pit of despair and bring great joy and blessing to their life. But I'm going to do it in you before I do it through you. The Lord says that what's on your life will take you many places. The Lord says that the call on your life, it's for thousands. There's a training and equipping that's coming. Thank you, Father. A next generation of worship leader. Now the Lord says, you don't have to fit in those boxes. The Lord says, just be you. Be real, be authentic. I get a picture of you as like this wild stallion kind of horse. It's this great, huge, beautiful horse that I feel like the Lord is saying there's some bridling that needs to happen. The Lord says that bit that you feel in your mouth on some days, it's because I love you and I'm going to mature you. There's going to be some hard things spoken to you. There's also a big call to the mission field on you. I really hear the nations, and I feel like the Lord is saying that in the days ahead, you're going to go to some nations, but you're also going to write to the nations, that you're going to awaken them to the heart of God, even the nations. And so, Lord, I just thank you for this young lady. God, bring the right people around her. Give her parents great wisdom, Father. You definitely need to get that CD, Raising Prophetic Children. Father, we just thank you for her life. Thank you, Father. Protect her from the evil one. Thank you, Jesus. All right, this is one way out there, but who you marry is going to be very, very important. I know it's way, way down the road, but the Lord has the right man for you. And I just see him in a vision. He's strong in stature, and he's strong in the spirit. And I see him being that balance that you're going to need in the days ahead. The burden that God is going to give you is going to leave you very emotional in the years ahead. And God is going to give you a husband that will be strong. He'll be balanced. And he will be the right fit for you and hold on to and hold out for the one that God has for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I still have tape recordings from when I was 7 years old, cassette tapes of all the prophecies I received. I've always made it a practice. December of every year, I play all the prophetic words I got that year. So I literally have a box just full and full and full of the Lord's been using me in Lakeland at our church to prophesy to 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds and about their future and destiny. And, you know, out at Bethel Church in Reading, in their kids' church, all the prophetic people go in there and they prophesy over all the kids. And what they do is, as the kids progress in the kids' church, they hand the prophetic words off to the Sunday teachers. So from the time these kids are in nursery to the time they graduate high school, their prophecies follow them. So they get moms to rock, grandmas to rock the babies in the nursery and sing and prophesy over them. Just write them down. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Right here in the blue, will you come? Praise God. Lord, we just say more for this brother. It's like the Lord is saying that I'm going to marry the Word and the Spirit in your life. The Lord says that the river is about to get really deep for you. There's a huge character refinement that's coming. You carry the gifts of God, but he says that I'm going to forge my character down in you like never before. The Lord says that your words are going to meet your actions. There are a lot of people around you that are looking for you just not to talk the talk, but to walk the walk. It's like the Lord is saying that there's a call of a leader on you, and you will not fall short in the days ahead. That you've been running a race, and the Lord has been after discipling you, bringing inner healing. There's some deep things inside of you that the Lord is about to excavate out. And I just feel like the Lord is saying there's gold in you. God says, I see the gold. And I'm going to work with you. I'm going to work with you in my timing. Lord would say that you have not had words for what I'm doing in you, so you feel misunderstood. See a company of brothers gathered around you that are going to run the race like you're going to run. Father, I'm asking in the name of Jesus. I just hear that the Lord is saying that there's blessing in the cluster, the company of friends. There's a fire that burns in you that a lot of people don't understand. The Lord says, I'm going to harness that fire. Great gifting, great calling, more character refinement. What's going to come out of it is something powerful, something redemptive. In fact, the Lord is saying, you don't have to prove anything to me. I release you, says your Father, from paying a debt that my Son paid for you. You don't owe me anything. Stop trying to pay me back. I release you from any words that your earthly father spoke over you that were a detriment to your upbringing and the call on your life. I release you right now from the hurt and the pain of the past. the Lord says that you will be defined not by the words of men, but by the words of your Father in heaven. There's a spirit of sonship that's coming on you. No longer an orphan, but a son. You will bear the marks of my love and my mercy, but you will bear the marks of my discipline too. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stretch out our hands. Just believe that the Lord wants you to know that you make Him smile. I hear God saying, when you come before Him, that's my girl. I see you standing before God and you're shouting, my God is mighty. My God is a warrior dressed for battle. He's not afraid of you. And there is a call on your life to challenge the works of the devil. There's a call on your life to give back to the devil what he's inflicted on people. And the Lord says that there's a tenacity and there's an intensity that he has given you that he loves. But the Lord says that you are going to have to be careful that you do not take out on other people what the Lord is doing on the inside of you. Hear the Lord saying that it's all about attitude. It's all about your attitude. The Lord has put a desire for justice in you. There's something fierce about your calling where you want justice. Things that are not done right, wrongdoing, it deeply grips you. It angers you. And I feel like the Lord is giving you a part of Himself, even as a woman, that's hard for people to deal with because, you know, they want them to be sweet and blah, and it's just not you. I see you advocating. I see you with a briefcase in your hands. I see you fighting for those that have been abused, those that have been trafficked. I see you fighting in a courtroom for justice. There's some connection even. I really believe that there's some type of trip, some connection. I don't know what it is. I don't want to speak into it because it hasn't been revealed to me, but there's some connection with you in Washington, D.C. in the years ahead. I feel like the Lord is saying that by the time you're 24 years old, there's going to be a full bloom in your life. That by the time you're 24, you're going to be well ahead of the game. So Lord, I just pray that whatever education, whoever needs to be brought into her life to help her fulfill this calling. I feel like the Lord says that you're in the special forces, that you're in an elite soldier in His army. I see you in a wedding dress and combat boots. Start praying for your husband right now, Lord Jesus. Oh, God. In Jesus' name. Okay. I was having a flashback years ago at Morningstar, Susie Yari, or however she dressed up in a wedding dress and commando boots. It's a picture of the end time army, the bride ready for war. Praise God. All right. Much more to come. When I feel the anointing lift, it's gone. You don't want to hear anything I have to say anymore. But thank you for coming. Thank you for giving me your time. Again, I want to encourage you. We kicked it off the track. If you can at all, come back in the morning, session 2. Come back tomorrow night, session 3. We're going to do more teaching, more ministry. And then on Sunday morning, I'm going to bring a word for the church. So God bless you guys. Thank you.
Incredible. I want to give you a chance to sow. I'm not going to talk much about that. I can tell you that I've went to many